we had that ministry over there.
Yeah.
And I feel a lot better about the
okay, we do have 53 balls up on the wreath, so that is $53,000, and every penny of that will go towards helping missionaries do their job. Because he lives, let's stand and sing it, and then we're going to wave at each other. high. Amen. Welcome, everybody.
Howdy.
Hi, everybody.
Everyone. And even you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Y'all are looking good.
Thank you. I hear that all the
time. All right. You can be seated. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Before we go on, there's a reason these are good ones. We got some problems in our country. So this is our story, that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. So all this other stuff, we're going to pray in a few minutes for our country, however long it takes. But we really need to get serious. I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican or Independent or whatever. This is our country.
America.
That's right. And that's what it's about. The stuff going on today is stuff you see in Egypt or North Korea or something like that, you know, and it's not right. And we did the same thing when Obama was president. It didn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. We pray for our leaders one way or another. And whether they're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. We need to pray for them. Because this is our story. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ought to be guiding us through this. And our hope is in him. Our faith ought to be in him. And one way or another, we're okay. The country may not be, but we are. So we're going to sing the last song as I have decided to follow Jesus. And then we're going to pray for our country before we do anything else. So let's sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Well, we're going to go ahead and take some time to pray for our country, and this will be a specific type of praying. Let's just pray for our country and our leaders, and not for our aunt that's sick or the problems that we are facing ourselves, but let's tell the Lord how we feel and ask him for help. So let's pray together. Anybody wants to pray out loud, pray out loud. Almighty Father, you are the only King. Bible says you're our potentate. There is no other. Lord, thank you for your gracious love and mercy. Thank you for the gift of salvation that only you can give. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what's going on, we know that you hear our prayers. Our hope is in you. Our comfort, Lord, is in you. Our guidance is in you through the Word. Father, you've instructed us to lift our leaders up in prayer. And maybe that's what's happening, Father, today, because we haven't been praying that they've gone astray. So I lift every single leader of this country up to you. Father, I know that some are saved and some are not. So I pray that you'd speak to the saved ones this very moment. Remind them who you are. Remind them that you're their Savior, you're their guide, that they ought to have their eyes focused on you. And Father, I pray that you would put a spark in the lost hearts, Lord, that they would realize the sin of disobedience. And Father, that you would do whatever is necessary to get their attention. Father, if my people who are called by my name will return to you, I pray that prayer for our country. Help us, Lord, to return to you in full commitment, full surrenderedness, not just in words, Father, not just in a quick prayer. I pray for our president. I know, Father, that he's hurting. I know his feelings have been hurt. And, I just pray for him. I lift him up to you, asking, Lord, that he would just feel the very presence of Jesus right this very moment. I pray for President-elect Biden. I have no idea what he's feeling right now. But I'm sure, Father, that he's feeling the burdens of the world on his shoulders. Help us be mindful to pray for him, whether we're Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. Help us to pray for him, and maybe through our prayers, Father, that you could speak to his heart and give him encouragement. I pray for Mitch McConnell, Lord, that he's one of the most powerful men in our country. I pray, Lord, that he would take his leadership serious tonight. God, he'd be on the phone, he'd be talking, he'd be pulling people together, seeking a unified Senate. Father, that he'd be reaching across the aisle and speaking to the Democrats as well. I pray, Lord, for Nancy Pelosi. Father, again, use her to bring about peace. I pray for her spiritual walk, Mitch's spiritual walk. I don't know what's really in their heart, but God, you do. I lift them up to you. I pray for all the senators, all the congressmen, our Supreme Court, our governors, our mayors, all the elected officials. God, help them. Lord, let them hear from you. As we see the news, Father, the people that are in Washington right now, those are just normal people. Lord, I don't know what their agenda is, but not all of them are bad. A lot of them are just good people. Father, settle their souls down. Let them see, Father, that throwing a rock at somebody or knocking somebody down or storming the Capitol, Father, is not the right thing to do. Father, I pray for a great healing in our country, a great spiritual healing. Maybe you'll use this, Father, to draw us closer to you. I pray for every Christian tonight that's praying. And Father, let us pray till you say that's enough. Father, thank you for being our God. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that this is just Scripture being fulfilled, that our eyes ought to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that very well we could hear that trumpet soon. And it could be another 1,000 years, but help us to anticipate with hope, Lord, the coming of Jesus. Father, as we go back to the prayer meeting tonight, I pray that you would be blessed and our prayers would be a sweet aroma to your nose. God, we sure do love you. We praise you. We ask forgiveness of our sins. We ask, Lord, that you would, if we got a bad attitude, that you'd straighten our attitudes out. Father, this is our story, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only story. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, anybody got any good news? I think her name's Angela. Haley. Austin Haley. Where did I get Angela from? Anyways, her name is going to be Angela in my mind from now on. She might as well get used to it. See, I talked to her yesterday, I think, and she wants to be baptized, and she will come forward. And they sit right back there about where Clarence is sitting, and just a good young couple.
Fine. I just thank the Lord for it.
Yeah. Because it could be work, it could be bad. We ought to be thankful that we live in the greatest country in the world. Yeah, if they don't get pretty soon, get going on it, we're just going to open a fishing pond. Stock it and put a fish camp out there.
I want to say something else, because I just want to appreciate the church. Late Sunday, we can go when they're late time here. I just want to praise the Lord. When I come back down here to check to see if he's had something to eat, somebody has already been taken care of. And I just want to say that I just praise the Lord for the church that has a heart to reach out to people.
I know it's not ideal with school and all that, but every day this week, getting to see my students, talk to them through Zoom, it's not the same, but it's the same because we still cut up, we still talk, we still learn. The kids are happy to see each other and me, and maybe not learn math, but you know, they enjoy being together.
Yeah.
I praise God that technology allows that.
As a teacher, did your principal or vice principal ever come observe you? So you had something to praise the Lord about. He's not observing you right now. Anybody else? More prayer concerns? Who? Was the first one your niece? Okay. Carol has asked for prayer for Kira. She has a court date the 8th of this month, and she does not have a lawyer, and it'll be over the telephone, so she's going to represent herself. And then Jakayla is having problems with her pregnancy, and she's lost several babies, so we really need to be in prayer for her. Which Paula?
Paula
Murray. Paula Murray's asking for prayer for her mom and dad.
Her student central is named Dylan Lawrence. December, he went to the doctor with an earache, and they diagnosed him with cancer, and operable, but didn't tend to work in his mouth. And also, this past weekend, one of our fellow students was killed in a car accident.
Anthony. Norma may have pneumonia. Not sure, but she feels like she does. She may have asthma. She's having lung problems. Vivian's not here. She is quarantined, but she doesn't think she's positive. Brother Rick Stevens and his wife are both positive with COVID. Brother Rick was an associational missionary. Okay. Continue to pray for our schools and our first responders and medical personnel. And when we all get to heaven, there's a reason for these songs that we pick out. Just like the Haley that came Sunday, when we sing these songs, she's not ready for heaven. So through song, through scripture, through the Holy Spirit, it takes it all. Remember, as we're singing, we're really not singing for us. We're singing to somebody or singing to the Lord. But all these songs we choose have meaning behind them. And realize there's somebody sitting in here every single time that needs to hear something. I'm convinced of that. Vaccine rollout. A lot of people are waiting to be vaccinated. Are you going to get it, Carol? It's right down here, block. They will. You could get it. Sorry. We're going to pray, or I'm going to pray for all of us because I want to share with you a Bible verse or two. So let's go to the Lord and pray. Almighty Father, we have prayer concerns. We have praises. First of all, we thank you for our church, Father, our fellowship, the ability to kid and cut up, the camaraderie that we have with each other. And Father, that's all from you. So we thank you, God, for that. We thank you for the unity and the peace that you give Hillcrest Baptist Church. And we thank you for our future with the building and the monies we have in the bank and the people that are committed. And Father, I just pray for us. We thank you, God, for who you are to us, and all that you do for us and all that you give to us. Father, I pray for our prayer concerns. I pray for Kira. She faces the ex-husband in the court system over the phone, over the Zoom, without being represented. And I pray, God, your will be done. I pray for Jaquela, and I pray for the little baby, and Lord, that you would, your way, your will would be done. And we pray for healing. We pray for a good delivery. We pray for Van and Evelyn, Lord, asking that you would touch them and encourage them and love them. We pray for Arlie, Father. Pray for Kenny's niece. This mass on the baby's kidney, Lord, we lift that little baby up to you. We pray for Rebecca and her walk, Father, with you. And, or if she doesn't have a walk, I pray, Lord, that you draw her to you. Pray for Paula Murray's mom and dad, Lord, asking that you touch their bodies and give them healing, peace, and Father, thank you for all the years of service they've given you. Pray for Dylan Lawrence, Lord, and his family, Lord, we know that all things work together for those that love you. So I pray for his soul. I pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged through all this. I pray for that student that got killed in a car wreck's family, Lord, that you would touch them with encouragement and love and grace. We lift up Kate Collins to you, Lord, that you would draw her back to you. Father, we lift up Norma and others in our church that are sick or not feeling well. We pray for Steve, Father, that you would give him healing and be with Misty as she loves and takes care of her husband. We pray for our city council and Mayor Pitts, Lord, and all that's taken place. We ask, Lord, for your guidance and for great patience. Father, we pray that they would do the right things. Tonight, Father, as we open up the Word of God, I pray for your wisdom. Father, I pray for your help. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would, turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 10 verses, but I want to talk about two or three if I have time. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Then you were raised with Christ," or "if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." I read that, I thought that would be a really good lesson tonight. Notice verse 1 starts out with the little word "if." If then you were raised with Christ. The question is to all of us, and some of us know the answer to this, but are you truly saved? Have you truly been raised with Christ? Have you truly accepted Jesus Christ and asked forgiveness for your sins? And I'm stressing this because of the many people throughout the years that I've been preaching that have come forward, and they've been in church for years and years and years, and God convicts them, and they come up. In fact, Carol, you did this, wasn't sure, and she needed to make sure that she was saved after all the years she'd been in church. In this church alone, we've had 5 or 6 grown people come forward, which makes me realize we need to continue sharing, making sure that all of us are right. God doesn't just take for granted all these words in the Bible. He puts them in there for a reason, and he put "if" in there. So realize that God, if you are saved, God identifies you with Christ in Jesus' death and his resurrection. The simple thing is, the only way to get to heaven is to believe in the resurrection of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection. But the greater thing is, God looks at us through Jesus, and he identifies us, and he tells us that we are right with him, we're acceptable to him because we believe in Jesus, and that we're going to be part of the resurrection with him. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. It's going to be a fantastic time. I don't know whether it be a whole day or 5 minutes. Who knows what it's going to be, but it's going to be great. If this happens, and there's a then. If then. If you are saved, now hear me. If you are saved, then according to these verses, there is a change, a marked change, a change that you will see, a change that others will see. If you're saved, he's described the people what they were. And if you were in that, and the Bible says we walked in it, when you get saved, there's an absolute change in your life. Tie that in with the word if. How many people do you know that sometimes when you talk to them or see what they're doing, you question, are they really saved? Yet many of them come to church every Sunday with us. They read their Bibles sometimes, and they get to work, and you'd never tell the difference between them and other people. So there is a huge change. And if you don't change, then you were not raised with Christ. That little word, if, it's a pretty big deal. I read this story, and I really liked it, so I'm going to share it with you. I'm short of time, but it's still a good story. His name was Alfred. Alfred's family was well known in the weapons manufacturing industry. Alfred's father built underwater mines for Russia. Alfred himself was famous for developing new types of explosives. He had 355 registered patents for detonators, blasting caps, and smokeless gunpowder. In 1866, he invented dynamite. He had built a tremendous family fortune and had built almost 100 factories to keep up with the demand for explosives and munitions. In 1988, Alfred's brother, Ludwig, and he was called the Russian Rockefeller because of the millions he had made, died from a heart attack. But a local French newspaper mistakenly reported that it had been Alfred who had died, and the headline read, "The Merchant of Death is Dead," and went on to say, "The man who became rich by finding ways to kill more people faster than ever before died yesterday." And when Alfred read that, his life changed. I don't know if he got saved or not, but at that moment, after that article had been written, his obituary had been written, he had $265 million, or the equivalent of $265 million worth, and he put it in an account for people that yearly would work towards peace. Do we know who it is? Alfred Nobel, the Nobel Peace Prize. I read that story. Again, I don't know if he got saved or not, but that obituary changed his life. He realized he didn't want to be called the doctor of death, doctor of killing people. He realized all those years he'd been inventing that stuff, it was used for mass destruction of people. That's the kind of change that happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. There's a turnaround in our life. We realize there are things in our lives. So look at verse 5, Colossians 3, verse 5. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth." And it goes through some of them. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. These, when you get saved, are part of the life that is put to death. You know, when I baptize somebody, it represents the death of the old and the raising up of the new. So when we get saved, those things are in verse 5, and there's some others in there in verse 8, they go out the window. God buries them. We bury them. Now, I'm not saying we don't struggle with some of them, continue to struggle, but that's the burying of the old self. And when we're raised a new life and a new creation, the change happens. And look at verse 3. "For you died," Did you hear that? You died, that old self died, that stuff we just read in verse 5 died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's remarkable that God loves us and created us and put us all together and put all this everything together. He had a purpose for all this before the creation of this world. But as we get saved, we're dead when we get saved, the old, raised to newness of life. And then God recognizes us as his child, as an heir with Christ. Then look at verse 2. If you're saved, then set your mind on things above. And then the Bible says what? Not on the things of this earth. So, again, here's a thought. There's an awful lot of stuff going on right now in this country. How easy is it for us to get caught up complaining about that and yakking about that? And whether it's a bad attitude or not, we just still get caught up and focused on that. I'm not saying don't get focused on it because we need to pray about it, but we sure don't need to be gathering around just yap, yap, yapping about this when lost people are around us and they're hearing Christians talk. And then do you do this? Because I know I do. When you get to talking about that, doesn't your face just get a little bit warm and your blood pressure gets up a little bit? And you don't mean to start getting louder, but you get louder and you start, you want to get your point made. And that, to me, sounds like the world. So, these are not my words. These are the Lord's words. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. When the change happens, you lose the old. Look at verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And then the Bible tells the old man died. We put that guy off. He's no longer there. Do not lie to one another. So pause a minute and think about Christians. And how many Christians will lie? Mike, you're in business. Have you ever heard a Christian tell a lie on purpose? Yeah. Scripture says the new person commands us, do not lie. It used to be, you know, a handshake was all it took to do business. Now we have to have a signed contract. That's still no good either. But what does it make you feel like when somebody lies to you? Do you trust them anymore after that? Oh, if somebody lies to me, it takes me a long time to get over that. I shouldn't be like that, but I can't help it. So do not lie to one another. Then look at verse 10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created us. So we have the knowledge and the image of the Lord Jesus. People are looking at us always. Here's what we ought to be putting off. Look at verse 8 and the first part of 9. But now yourselves are to put off these things. Now, he's talking to us now. If you're saved, he's talking to Christians. Put off anger. You ever get angry? Put it off. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. That's not just cussing. That's anything that's not godly. A lot of useless stuff comes out of our mouths, preacher included. We're to put that stuff off. Is it easy? Why, no. Nothing about being a Christian is easy. But I don't read it in there where God said, I'll make this easy for you. He doesn't make it easy. But he tells us we have the knowledge of Christ. We're the image of Jesus now. We reflect Jesus. God sees us in Jesus. And then the first part of 9 is don't lie to each other. These are things that Christians have to put off. And then the reward, if you conquered the if part, the reward is verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Can you imagine the billions of people that are going to be in that army with him when we appear with him as he comes? But those that are not in him will not be appearing with him. And there'll be billions of those people too. I don't know why I wanted to share those verses so bad, but I did. They're good scripture to study. They're good scripture to remind us who we are. A lot of stuff going on in our country right now. Remember what your story is. Your story is Jesus Christ. We're the image of Jesus. You guys, I know some of you are thinking, whoa, boy, did God ever make a mistake up here? But I see a couple mistakes out there too. But God doesn't make mistakes, does he? We are the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm seeing a lot of saints right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father Almighty, thank you for the word. It is not easy. You never intended it to be easy, but you did intend us to be different. You change us, Father, and help us not to fight the change. Help us to go along with the change and do our very best, Father, at changing into the new person that you've made us. Help us to get rid of the old man. Father, one day the reward will be we'll come back with you in glory. I pray your blessings on each one. I pray you protect us as we go home. I pray, Lord, for the rest of the night that it just be peaceful. And Father, just a time of worship with you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.